And we'll line everybody's fertilizer spurter up on the side of the field and then have a race. So if you got a fertilizer spreader, bring it. And we'll provide the fertilizer. And we're not going to use somebody's dead horse. Okay, I better get off that subject and get on the one I prepared for here. We're going to go to the book of Philemon. And this is what we were going to cover 2 weeks ago. But today is a snow makeup day. But let me tell you a true story that helps set the importance of this little book. By the way, Philemon is right before Hebrews, near to the end of the New Testament. The true story is there were two men in a church not too far from here in the UP who had been at odds with each other for some time. They both attended worship services on Sunday in the church, but they kind of ignored each other because of the tension between them. And on one particular Sunday, the pastor opened up this little book of Philemon, a first century letter of appeal to a slave owner to bring back his runaway slave and to forgive him. Well, at the end of the study that morning on Philemon, in the back of the church, these two men got together and they shook each other's hands and they embraced. They reconciled. They forgave each other and they are in harmony. This book has a powerful impact and wonderful things to teach us about reconciling with one another. God wants Christians to live in harmony. And we want to look at this entire short book this morning and basically see eight different reasons why we should be forgiving, why should we should reconcile with those that we have a grudge against. If there's someone who's a Christian and when you see them in Walmart, you turn away, God doesn't want that. He wants us to be in harmony, to love one another as he loves us, that the world will know that we're Christians by our love for one another. So let's look at these eight different reasons to welcome one another. The first reason is that we as Christians have other Christians who are our supporters, who are in our corner to help us to be accountable. In the first three verses of this book, Paul reminds Philemon that there's people cheering for him to be forgiving. That includes his wife, Appia. It includes Paul and Timothy, his missionary friends. It includes Archippus, who's probably his pastor. And it includes the whole church there at Colossae that meets in Philemon's own house. And most importantly, it includes God who gives his peace and his grace to help people be forgiving. Let me read these verses. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Appia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that we have a support system. We have people that we're accountable to, that we should be with, who want to encourage us. And that includes God himself. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I know, for me, I've had difficulty forgiving people. But God gives us what we need. He gives us the grace. He gives us the ability to be at peace with all people. And we need to thank him for that and utilize his power to help us. Paul had written to Philemon's church, the church at Colossians and Colossae. And in Colossians 1:10, he says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work." So reason number one to forgive is that there are other people cheering us on that are in our corner. The second reason is we're up to the task if we're a Christian. We are up to the task to extend God's love. Philemon was the type of person that should be going the extra mile now to forgive the one who had injured him so badly. He was a hospitable person. He was known for loving other people. That's verses 4 to 7. Let me read those. "I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Philemon had a reputation of being someone who opened his home to refresh Christians. He had a reputation of having a love toward all the saints in his area. And now someone has just become a saint and he's going to return to Colossae. He's going to return to be under Philemon's household. That man is Philemon's runaway slave Onesimus. And so Paul is saying, this is what you're like. You're one who reconciles, who opens his arm, who welcomes all the saints. So continue in that vein. And you know, for us, we have a new nature when we become a Christian. We have the capacity to be loving and welcoming and forgiving of other people. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that goes on to say, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." The verses Mike Zahn read for us. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Why should we forgive? Well, because we have people in our corner cheering us to do that. Second, because that's our nature. Because we know Christ, that's the task that we have to extend God's love. And thirdly, well, because that's just the right thing to do. Forgiving is the loving, the proper thing to do, is because we're connected to God himself. Look at verses 8 and 9. "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus." Philemon was to extend forgiveness for the sake of love. He shouldn't need to be commanded to. He should have the Holy Spirit boiling in his life and the overflow of that of love. And for the sake of love, he should reach out and extend forgiveness to the one who has hurt him. It's interesting, the pastor's wife of those two men that reconciled was in the back room here yesterday, and she read these verses from Colossians. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Oh, the Lord wants us to forgive. It's the loving thing to do. And a fourth reason that we should love is because we need to recognize that people can change. People can change, and we need to give people a second chance. Onesimus had changed. He had been useless, but now he's useful. Let's see what Paul says in verse 10. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you. I mean, what kind of a slave is that? Not a very hard worker. He left Philemon in the lurch, may have taken some of Philemon's goods when he left him with work unfinished. He was useless. But he got to Rome. He heard the good news from Paul. He accepted Jesus as the one that could take away his sin. And his life was radically changed to where all of a sudden he was useful to Paul. He was running errands for him, doing different things to care for Paul as he was in prison. And Paul says, hey, this is a different person. You need to take him back, recognizing that he's changed. Give people a second chance. In fact, it's quite interesting, the end of verse 11, but now is useful both to you and to me. The word useful is the meaning of Onesimus' name. The word Onesimus means useful. It comes from the word onenemi, which is actually translated in verse 20, yet, brother, let me benefit. The word benefit there is the word, Greek word onenemi. Onesimus means beneficial. He was not his namesake. He was useless. But now he has become what his name means. He is useful. And so Paul tells Philemon, forgive him. Welcome him home. Give him a second chance. And he puts it this way in verse 12, which kind of underscores the fact that Onesimus will still be the slave to Philemon. I have sent him back to you in person, that is sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. Without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. So take him back. I'd like to keep him, but he's yours. Receive him. Welcome him. Forgive him. He's useful now. Give him a second chance. And that was going to be a risk for Philemon to do this. Philemon knew that there was about as many slaves as there were masters, perhaps more. There were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And the normal thing that if a slave ran away and was found, he would be executed. I mean, you didn't want to have that thing become a popular deal, slaves leaving. So to keep all the slaves in check, they executed those who were runaways. If they were to take them back, they would often then brand them with a branding iron with a big F that stood for fugitive, fugitivus in Latin. That was not a very pleasant thing, to run away and get caught and have an F on your forehead the rest of your life. On rare exceptions, a letter of appeal by a friend would turn the master to take the slave back and forgive them. And we have examples from archaeology and findings of other letters, like this letter of Paul to Philemon, of a friend appealing to the master, saying, your slave is a changed person. Give him a second chance. Don't execute him. Don't put an F on him, but forgive him. And that's what this book is appealing for Philemon to do. Give him a second chance. You know, we wonder how often we should give someone a second chance, or a third chance, or a fifth chance. And Peter says, if my brother sins against me and I forgive him, how many times does he have to come back and I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus says, oh, no, 70 times seven. We need to give people 490 chances. We need to believe that God can help them through our forgiveness. Very interesting, at the end of this book, verse 24, it says, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow workers. One of Paul's fellow workers with him in Rome, who's there just not because he's in prison, but because he's there to help Paul, who's working alongside of Onesimus in taking care of Paul's needs, was a man named Mark. Mark was the one who ran home to Mama on the first missionary journey. And on the second missionary journey, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go again and revisit the churches. And Barnabas says, oh, and then let's take my nephew Mark. And Paul says, no way. Not going to give him a second chance. He deserted us. But you know, Barnabas gave him a second chance. And now he's back on Paul's team. Paul gave him another chance. Paul forgave him. And God used Mark to write the gospel of Mark. What power forgiveness is. Give people another chance. People can change. Also, a fifth reason that forgive is because God turns bad situations into good for us. We need to recognize that the hurt someone imposed on us is a means for God to bring good to us. Notice what he says here in verse 15. For perhaps Onesimus was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul is saying, hey, Philemon, you need to recognize that you're going to be better off than you were before. God has used this runaway slave to bring you added blessing. You're going to get him back, not simply as a slave, but now also as a brother in Christ, which he wasn't before. He's going to be able there to pray with you. He's going to be able to witness with you. He's going to be able to use his gifts to encourage you and help you. You've got a brother now, as well as simply a slave coming back. This has been used by God for good. And by the way, isn't it a wonderful thing that Onesimus left you and deserted you and ran all the way to Rome? Because it was in Rome he found Jesus, and he's going to heaven forever and his sins are forgiven. This is great stuff. You should be happy that Onesimus ran away. So take him back and forgive him. It reminds me of the man who let me go from my previous job. I was not too happy with that man. I was not too forgiving of that man. But as I look back, I go, wow, I'm so glad he let me go from that job, because that put us here. Thank God for that guy who kicked me out of my job. God used it for good. One day, Joseph's brothers said, uh-oh, our dad's died, and now Joseph is going to kill us off because we sold him into being a slave. And Joseph said to his brothers who had made him a slave, he said, ah, don't worry about it. It's okay. God took what you meant for evil and turned it for good to save all these people in this famine. Let's be buddies. And they were. We need to recognize that the evil that someone brought to us, that God turns for good. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So whatever evil that person has done to you, recognize that God is using it to develop your character, that He's using it for good. And that can be an incentive for us to welcome and forgive them. A sixth reason is because we're part of God's team and we need to be a team player. In verse 17, Philemon is to welcome home the member of his team. Verse 17, if then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. Welcome him home. He's a needed part of the body of Christ. And Paul says, as a team player, you need to let go of the debts he owed you. I like the way he puts this in verse 18. Look at this. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Yeah, right. Philemon's going, what? Charge it to Paul's account? But Paul's in need of funds. The people in Philippians have just sent him money to help take care of his prison expenses. And he wants me to charge what Onesimus owes me to Paul? I don't want to put any more on Paul's MasterCard. Paul says, if he owes you anything, charge it to my account. One of the things that helps us in forgiveness is that there be some restitution. Sometimes what's putting a wedge between us and someone else is that they owe us. And Paul is saying, whatever is owed, don't worry about that. Just put it on my account. There's one other person in Scripture who has said the same thing. And that's Jesus. For each of us, what we had as a debt toward God because of our sin, Jesus put it on his account. He paid for it in full. And what that person has done against us has already been charged to Jesus. He's already paid it. So forgive him. The debt has been paid. Christ paid for it in full. Let him take care of it. Let him take care of it. Put it on Jesus' account, what's owed. And that helps us in this whole process of restoration. Oh, and then verse 19. Paul says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'll repay it. And then he puts this in parentheses, not to mention Philemon, that you owe me, even your own self, as well. You see, Paul had been used of God not only to lead Onesimus to Christ, but to lead Onesimus' master to Christ. Philemon was going to heaven. Philemon had a wonderful account with God, full and forgiven, because he believed the message that Paul gave, that forgiveness is through Christ. So Philemon owed Paul a lot. He owed him his life. He's going to heaven because of Paul. So Paul is saying, oh, it's payback time. you owe me something, and all I'm asking you to do is forgive the slave who's ran away. Be part of the team. Forgive him. Put the debt on Jesus' account. You know, Jesus taught us to pray. And in it, we're to pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's forgive our debtors, because God wants us to be in harmony with those who've hurt us. Now, a seventh reason that we are to be forgiving is because forgiveness can have a powerful ripple effect. Forgiveness can have a ripple effect. Look at verse 20. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul would be encouraged. He would be refreshed if Philemon would just forgive Onesimus. It would have an impact on Paul's life. You know, when we forgive someone, it affects other people, and it prompts them to be forgiving as well. We'll look at that in a moment. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? Did Philemon welcome back Onesimus? Look at verse 21. Paul says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. What more could this slave owner do than welcome the slave back home, forgive him all of his debts, and bring him into his church as a brother in Christ? What more could he do? Perhaps he could free him. Not only free him from that debt toward Philemon, but free him from being a slave. Well, I've been interested to see if there's anything in church history or somewhere that gives us an idea if there was any ripple effect in Onesimus's life. And well, there's one other mention outside of Scripture of a person named Onesimus. Only one in the first two centuries of church history, in all the literature that has been found and things, there's only one other mention of the name Onesimus. And it's in a letter written by Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was about 130 miles west of Colossae, where Philemon and Onesimus lived. And in the letter of Ignatius to the church at Ephesus, he writes this: I have received your whole church in the person of Onesimus. Onesimus, whose love goes beyond speaking, who is, moreover, your bishop. This other Onesimus that is mentioned in the writings of the early church was one who became the lead pastor of the great influential church of Ephesus. And he is described as one whose love is beyond description. That Onesimus is not distinguished from the Onesimus of the Scriptures, who perhaps was forgiven some 40 years before. What we do know is that when one is forgiven, not only by God, but by other Christians, they can radically be changed to have a loving and forgiving spirit to other people. A love beyond description. And they want to serve God with their heart. Jesus went to dinner at Simon the Pharisee's. Simon didn't welcome him with a kiss, didn't anoint him with oil. But there was a woman there. She'd been a prostitute. She came. She, with her tears, wet Jesus' feet and washed them with her hair. Simon says, "Don't you know that that's a sinner?" And Jesus says, "Oh, I know she was a sinner. But she's been forgiven. Because the one who loves much is the one who has been forgiven much." Our forgiveness sparks love in other people. Our forgiveness can have a ripple effect. I encourage you to be forgiving. So, the eighth reason to be forgiving is like the first one. It's that people are cheering you on. They're in your corner. They're encouraging you to be forgiving. Look at verse 22. "At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you." Oh, wow. Paul says, "I want you to forgive him, not because I'm commanding you, but, you know, you owe me." Do it out of love. Do it because God has done all these wonderful things. Do it because of the ripple effect it can have. "Oh, and by the way, provide a lodging for me in your house. I'm going to show up." I bet that was incentive. And then he says, "And by the way, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you." Epaphras was the one who started the church in Colossae. He was one that Philemon looked up to. And he's in prison because of Christ. What motivation is that? That Epaphras is there kind of signing off on this as well. "As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers." And then the final reason is because God wants him to. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit." Be with your attitude. May your attitude be filled with the grace that you know of in Jesus Christ. Wow. There's some great reasons here to be forgiving. When I found out who was responsible for the death of our son Matthew, God put on my heart that I needed to forgive him. And so I had a friend who knew the responsible person and knew where he was in the county jail. And I asked my friend Mike to go and tell the young man that I had forgiven him. And a few days later, Mike came back and said to me, "I told him that you'd forgiven him." I go, "Great." And Mike says, "Oh, and by the way, I also told him that God forgave him." "Okay. Yeah, and I told him that Jesus died for him and he needed to accept Christ's forgiveness, believing Jesus paid for it." "Okay, that's nice. Glad you did that." "He did." "He what?" "He believed. He accepted Christ's forgiveness." And then I go, "Oh my goodness. When that guy gets out of jail, he might come to the church that we were at. Would I welcome him like I would welcome Mike? Would I reach out to him and say, 'Welcome, come worship with us. Come serve with us.'" I don't know if I could have. But God wants us not only to kind of forgive in our minds, but to be able to reach out and to welcome and to love in the power that only Christ can give us. A couple of weeks ago, actually about a month ago now, I was asked if I would give a ride to someone. See, the guy who was going to give the ride was going to ride with me, which meant that I had to give the guy he was going to give a ride to. Does that make sense? Anyhow, I had to give a ride to someone that I had kind of a wedge with, a tension with. And so he says, would you give him a ride too along with me? Because I promised, okay. I'm so glad I did. Because giving that person a ride, welcoming him into my car and spending time with him and taking him home really helped provide harmony between us, bring peace between us. So the next time we didn't have that, I wonder what he's thinking kind of a thing, we were able to extend hands. God wants us to be forgiving as he is forgiving. It can have a mighty ripple effect for his glory. Let's just take a moment to pray. And right now, let each of us before the Lord ask him to point out to us someone that we need to extend a welcome to reach out to and forgive and love and receive. Ask God to show you who that would be. And then ask God right now to help you to make the call to send the text to that person to welcome them into your home or to have lunch with them. But ask God to put in your heart and mind what you can do to really reach out and show forgiveness. Lord, we thank you that we get prejudiced, we'll get bitter, have been forgiven. May we extend that same forgiveness that you've given us to others for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.